Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today, we continue to look at the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11, verses 1 to 18 today. Before I read this passage, I really encourage you to take perhaps a week and to read the Acts of the Apostles from beginning to end. Just read them chapter after chapter. There is so much that the Lord shows us about a people whose lives were turned inside out and upside down by the coming of the Messiah and by his life, his death, and his resurrection. Their lives are just radically shifting, and you see it. You see it in what they say. You see it in what they do. I think if you just actually sit down and read the Acts of the Apostles from beginning to end, it will really touch you how their faith grew and how they depended more and more on God, how they deepened their relationship with the Christ, with Jesus, how they began to use all the gifts of the Holy Spirit that God was giving them. And he wants to do the same for us. Our culture is different. It looks different in many ways, but it's the same Spirit that once we are, in a certain sense, captured by God, captured by his heart and his love, captured in the sense that we come to believe it's really true, that it's not just images. And when we do, our life turns sometimes upside down and inside out. And we find that God wants to use poor, weak, sinful me. As long as I repent, he wants to use me in a most blessed way. He wants to draw me to himself. He wants me to become his disciple, to encourage others to come and to know the living God. So as you take time to read the Acts of the Apostles, let me know. Let me know what you think the Lord is showing you. I wouldn't mind hearing from you. In fact, I would enjoy it. So this passage for the first reading today is a long one. It's the Acts of the Apostles again, chapter 11, verses 1 to 18. The apostles and the brothers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles too had accepted the word of God. Now that's a shock. The Jews, the Gentiles too had accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers confronted him, saying, "You entered the house of uncircumcised people and ate with them." You're not supposed to do that. It's a violation of the law. And Peter began and explained it to them step by step, saying, "I was at prayer in the city of Joppa when in a trance I had a vision, something resembling a large sheet coming down, lowered from the sky by its four corners, and it came to me. Looking intently into it, I observed and saw the four-legged animals of the earth, the wild beasts, the reptiles, and the birds of the sky. I also heard a voice say to me, 'Get up, Peter, slaughter and eat.' But I said, 'Certainly not, sir, because nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time a voice from heaven answered, 'What God has made clean, you are not to call profane.' This happened three times, and then everything was drawn up again into the sky. Just then, three men appeared at the house where we were, who had been sent to me from Caesarea. The Spirit told me to accompany them without discriminating. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house, and he related to us how he had seen the angel standing in his house, saying, 'Send someone to Joppa and summon Simon, who is called Peter, who will speak words to you by which you and all your household will be saved.'" Do you see the action of God here? It's miraculous. "As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God," and he's looking at them all, "if then God gave them the same gift he gave to us when we came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to be able to hinder God? This is not my decision. This is God. God wants all he created to come to know him, love him, and serve him. No exceptions. He wants all. I play my part by sharing my own relationship with others when that's appropriate. It's by my example, by my charity, by my generosity. It's by my kindness. It's by the hope that I have, the hope for eternal life. All those things speak to people, many of whom, even in our own country, brothers and sisters who have never heard the gospel. It's hard to believe, but it's true. Many, many people have left the church, any church. Many people have left. And they're not passing anything on to their children and their grandchildren. God needs us, and he needs the graces that he's given us in our baptism, First Communion, confirmation, etc., etc. Those graces are what enable us to spread the good news. Ask God how he wants you to do it. Psalm 42, athirst is my soul for the living God. Is there a hunger in you that no food can satisfy or no drink can quench? Is there a hunger and thirst in you? It was given you by God so that you would seek him, because the only place that hunger and thirst will be satisfied is in him. Open your heart. And the gospel is from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. Jesus said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate but climbs over elsewhere is a thief and a robber." Who's the gate? What's the gate? "Amen, I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate but climbs over elsewhere is a thief and a robber. But whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice, as he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has driven out all his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they recognize his voice." Do you recognize the presence of God? Do you give God time in silence, where you sit and simply gaze at him and let him speak to you when he wishes? Do you simply go before the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament and just be there with him? Friends can be like that. I always remember, and I think I've shared it with you on the program, but I love it, as an example of a young man who was sitting on the front porch in the middle of summer. And his grandparents, they were sitting on the swing on the porch. And they were quiet. The three of them had talked for a little bit, and then they were just quiet, just enjoying the summer evening and the quiet. And the sun had set, and things were just, the light was fading away, and they were just sitting there. Nobody said a word. And this young man said to me, he said, after a while, he said, my grandfather just said to my grandmother, "I think so too." And then they said, "We're going in now." And this young man said, I thought, "What? I think so too?" They weren't talking. They weren't talking. What did he mean? And what he came to understand was that his grandparents had a means of communication, that they just knew one another. They knew what one another thought many times, not all the time, but many times they knew what one another was thinking or what one another was about to say, because they had lived together intimately. They had gotten to know one another. very personally. Now, if that can happen in the human condition, and it can, it doesn't mean that they know everything every moment. I'm not saying that, but they have a union with one another and a love for one another and an understanding of the way one another's minds work, that they can anticipate almost what the other would say. Well, there is an analogy there with God. God, of course, is perfect. God knows every thought, I think. He knows every hope, every dream, every mistake, every offense. He knows everything. And he loves me. Brothers and sisters, how much time do you spend with God who loves you, who wants you to know him more and more personally? He wants you to be with him, to listen to him, to bring your concerns to him. But also at times, just like that couple on a porch on a summer evening, just sitting there with one another, just loving to be in the presence of one another, just willing to take time to thank him for the good things that have come, to ask him for the things you need, but just to be with him. Do you know that God desires that? Bring your scripture with you. And if you, you know, you get distracted or whatever, just pick up the word of God again and read some portion of it and talk to God about that. Talk to God about how that passage or this psalm speaks to you. Share with him. God will hear. That's the important thing. God hears. He hears your need. He hears your hope. He hears your dreams. He hears them. And he's not going to turn away from you. He's going to listen, and he will respond. Brothers and sisters, Jesus says in this gospel passage, "Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. You will find plenty to eat. Your soul will be nourished and strengthened. A thief comes only to steal, to slaughter, to destroy. I have come so that they might have life and have it more abundantly." Not just the physical life of our bodies, but the life that is developing as we are united more and more with the God who created us, that we personally enter into a living relationship with this God who loves it. It becomes more and more real. And I come to know the abundance of life that God desires to give me even here. May God abundantly bless you too. To order my free booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, call 1-800-282-4789 or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ, where you can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.